In a logo, stars twinkle in the sky. Our view drifts down through clouds to a river that winds past hillsides. A train crosses a bridge. As a flag waves on top of a castle's tallest spire, a bright display of fireworks explodes in the sky. A glowing pinpoint of light arcs over the castle, leaving a trail of sparkling dust. Walt Disney Pictures. Title appears, Treasure Buddies. Our view glides over sand dunes in a desert. Amid the dry landscape, a walled city appears. Inside, at a crowded marketplace, men wear long robes and hats. Women wear headscarves. People push carts with supplies and shop at stalls. A monkey wearing a fez hat with a tassel scampers into a storage room, carrying a shiny chain.
This will add nicely to Bobby's treasure.
He hops up next to an Egyptian coffin, opens it, and deposits the chain. A fuzzy-haired monkey in a shirt peeks in.
Assalamu alaikum, Uncle Bobby.
Nephew Babu, my new apprentice. You have arrived. Welcome to Uncle Bobby's humble palace.
Babu is most excited to learn Art of Adventure.
Good to hear. Bobby is most excited to teach Art of Adventure. Bobby always wanted a sidekick.
Babu joins his uncle in the jewel-filled coffin.
Wow, Uncle Bobby, look at all your treasures.
Bobby likes shiny objects.
He adds a coin from a purse.
I want to be great adventurer and treasure hunter, just like you. No more organ grinder school for Babu.
I will teach you everything I know.
What is the greatest treasure you ever found, Uncle Bobby?
Oh, that is a very special story that Bobby has not told anyone.
Tell Babu, please.
Okay, it all happened when Bobby met the Buddies.
You know the Buddies?
Uncle Bobby not only friends with the Buddies, but Bobby once saved their lives.
Is this another one of your tall tales, Uncle Bobby? My mom says you exaggerate sometimes.
No, cheeky monkey. This is truest of true story. It all started 40 years ago when a brave adventurer named Thomas Howard came to Egypt with his best friend and partner, Digger, looking for the Bronze of Bastet.
You've done it, Digger. Good boy.
What is a Bronze of Bastet, Uncle Bobby?
It is the first clue leading to a great treasure, the lost collar of Cleopatra.
A flashback shows Thomas and his dog Digger in a tomb. A stone chest bears a cat's face. Thomas presses the eyes and a lid slides open, revealing half of a bronze disc.
The other half is missing.
He glances around.
The chest was booby-trapped. Run, boy! Run, boy, run!
The walls crumble around them. Thomas drops the bronze piece.
Leave it, Digger! It's too dangerous! Let's go!
Digger bounds back into the collapsing cave and picks up the bronze piece with his mouth. A boulder nearly lands on him. He runs out of the tomb. Thomas leaps out of the cave. Digger jumps out too. He brings the bronze piece to Thomas.
Close call. Babu, happy Digger escaped from tomb. So did they ever find the other half? And where are the bodies?
Be patient, Babu. Great adventurer has much patience. Now hurry up and listen, so Uncle Bobby can continue story. Many years went by, and Thomas retired. He moved to a small town called Fernfield, where he opened a museum, had a family, and a grandson named Pete.
And so Digger and I made it out just as the tomb collapsed.
And Digger had grandpuppies too, who are heroic, just like him. The Buddies. Buddha, Butterball, Mudbud, B-Dog, and their little sis, Rosebud. But don't let the pink bow fool you. She is feistier than all the boys combined.
And we brought this half of the Bronze of Bastet back to Fernfield. This way, please.
The gray-haired explorer leads Pete's school group. The Buddies gaze at a photo of Digger.
Whoa, Digger was the coolest dude ever.
Perhaps Digger's spirit lives in you.
You both love dirt.
Yo, Digger was old school cool. I'm the new fly dog.
I met your great-grandpappy when I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Aren't grasshoppers and bugs our delicacy in some countries? Can you imagine ever being so hungry? You have to eat bugs?
Yeah, right, Butterball. You'd eat anything other than vegetables.
As the legend goes, Cleopatra was given a necklace which contained the powerful jewel of the cat's eye. But somehow, it became lost.
But you almost found it, didn't you, Grandpa?
I certainly tried, Peter.
A man lurks, clutching a hairless cat. The cat hops down.
That wraps up my last tour. Thank you. Thank you all for being here. Have a wonderful day.
The kids leave.
Wow, Grandpa. That was great.
Well, if you like it, Peter, that's enough for me.
Why does the museum have to close? Such a bummer.
Yes, Pete, it is a bummer. And we haven't had the funding to acquire a new exhibit in quite some time.
Thomas takes out the bronze piece.
It's really too bad you and Digger never found the other half and the lost necklace of Cleopatra.
I just hope a young archaeologist like you finds it, and not some greedy grave robber.
With the buddies.
How did dogs become man's best friends if cats were first?
The cat's eye necklace was believed to have magical powers. Legend has it, Cleopatra had plotted to steal it. They say she wanted to change the order, making cats rulers over all Earth's creatures, including man. But somehow she was foiled by the legendary pup, Boudassi. Cleopatra's necklace was never seen again. All we know is the order was changed and dogs became man's best friend and cats were banished.
I guess that's why it's in our DNA to chase cats, dudes. When I see one, I just can't help it.
The hairless cat sits in an exhibit.
Did you see that? The cat's eyes moved.
Huh. Must be one of those optical delusions.
Oh, don't worry, B-Dog. Those cats are just statues.
The museum bloodhound leads the buddies away. B-Dog walks up to the exhibit and sniffs the hairless cat.
Come on, cat. I'm getting all up in your grill. What are you gonna do about it? Yeah, that's what I thought. You ain't nothing but a skinny, bald, scaredy cat.
B-Dog races off. Thomas brings his grandson to an office.
Just wait a minute, Peter.
He opens a dusty toolbox.
Here's some stuff you might like. Tools of the trade. Anything you want is yours.
Even your compass?
Better a young explorer like you have it.
Pete puts it around his neck.
And here's something for Mudbud. It's Digger's favorite bandana.
Cool!
Thomas picks up Mudbud and removes his blue bandana. Pete puts on Digger's tan one.
He's the spitting image of his great-grandpappy.
Wait, why was Grandpa Thomas giving away all his things? Was he giving up being adventurer?
Yes, but Grandpa Thomas about to learn important lesson. Great adventurer never gives up.
Thomas studies the bronze piece.
What are we going to do with this now?
Well, not sure what we should do with it, Peter.
The man with the cat enters.
I apologize. I didn't see you there, Mr. Wellington.
Dr. Philip Wellington.
Of course. Dr. Wellington. What an honor.
May I, as you say in America, cut right to the chase, Professor? I have something that I think might interest you.
He unwraps the other half of the bronze disc.
It can't be. May I?
Thomas puts the two halves together.
Unbelievable! How did you find this?
Well, let's just say it took a very long time and considerable effort.
Why didn't I hear of this discovery?
Well, the Egyptian government and I thought it best to keep it on the QT until we discover...
Cleopatra's tomb!
Precisely. I have a plane waiting on standby.
Well, I can't just pick up and go to Egypt.
Thomas. The only missing piece of the puzzle is you.
But I promised my grandson a camping trip for spring break. Well, bring the lad along. Surely a trip to Egypt is more exciting.
Yeah! Mudbud can come too, right?
That? No dogs.
Mudbud nips his fingers.
I'm afraid my dear, sweet cat, Ubasti, is allergic to them, so your mud dog will have to stay here. So what do you say, Thomas? Do we have an arrangement?
I don't know.
Oh, my dear man, you don't want to be an old relic like the things in this quaint little museum, when you could show the world what a great archaeologist Thomas Howard really is. Finding Cleopatra's necklace is one of the greatest archaeological finds in history. You've worked for this your whole life, and you know well that opportunities like this only come round once in a lifetime.
Thomas looks at a photo of Digger.
You're right. Let's find that tomb.
The town of Bastati. That is where we must go.
Later, Thomas and Pete head out.
You ready to go, Peter?
Oh, I'm ready. This is gonna be epic.
Oh, take care of my baby. Dad, remember, he's only 10. And call me when you land. And then every day, twice.
Don't you worry, sweetheart.
Well, we mustn't dawdle. Wheels up in precisely 26 minutes. Chop, chop, let's go.
Pete hugs Mudbud.
Mudbud. Bye, oh, bye.
His mom takes the puppy.
Yes.
Bye, Mom.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye, Dad.
Be good. Have a good time.
Let's go, Peter.
The hairless cat Ubasti sits in Wellington's SUV.
I'll bring you back some Egyptian mud.
He won't be bringing you back anything, Dirt Bud.
Huh?
When we find the cat's eye jewel, it'll be mine, and cats will finally rule with me as their queen.
Not if the buddies have anything to say about it.
Bye-bye, flea bag. Oh, poor Mudbud's devastated.
Pete and his grandfather ride off with Wellington and Ubasti. Mudbud wriggles as Pete's mom carries him inside. Later, Mudbud slips back outside.
That cat dudette cannot get away with this. Don't worry, Pete. I'm coming to save you. Help!
The golden retriever puppy dashes across the yard. At an airport, a plane waits on the tarmac. Men load crates on board. Wellington arrives with Pete and Thomas. Near the airport building, the buddies gather around Mudbud.
We heard your emergency howl. Is everything okay? Or was someone just trying to give you a bath?
Pete and Grandpa Thomas are in trouble! You know that collar that Sniffer told us about? The one that could be the end of all dog kind?
Yeah?
Well, that creepy cat said she was gonna get the collar and use it to rule humans and dogs.
Yo, ain't no one gonna rule the bee dog. No how, no way. That's for shizzle.
What are we waiting for? Let's get on that plane.
A crate lies open.
Follow me.
Team buddies to the rescue.
The puppies race to the crate and hop inside. A warning reads, danger, explosives. Inside, the dogs sit in hay between sticks of dynamite. A worker hammers on the lid. More men carry the crate to the plane.
Yo, what's the plan now?
We hitch a ride to Egypt and kick some serious kitty butt, dudes.
The propellers twirl. Bobby tells the story to Babu.
So, Buddy set off for Egypt, a land of amazing adventure and shiny treasure. But most importantly, me, Bobby the Great.
The plane takes off. A map shows the flight across the U.S. and the Atlantic Ocean and reaching Bastati in Egypt. The Great Pyramids rise in the desert. The Sphinx, a giant sculpture with a human head on a lion's body, rises in the sand. The plane lands. A few men greet Wellington. Pete and Thomas climb off the plane.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Wellington. Very happy to see you.
Seti, skip the formalities and unload the plane. Meet us in Bastati and gather supplies.
Sabah el khair.
Sabah el khair.
That means good morning.
I'm Thomas Howard.
They shake hands.
And this is my grandson, Peter.
Hello, Peter. My name is Seti. This is my cousin, Tariq.
Later, their truck drives away. At the plane, Seti and Tariq unload the explosives crate. Tariq eats a sandwich. He drops his end of the crate.
What, you crazy? This is explosives. Put that down. What is wrong with you?
He drops the sandwich on the crate. Sauce drips inside, landing on Butterball. He licks it.
Hey, you guys. We must have landed in Egypt. It's raining falafel sauce.
In the desert, Wellington's truck passes a marker, Bastadi, 5 kilometers. The vehicle wobbles over rolling dunes, heading toward the walled city. Passing through a gate, the adventurers arrive in the bustling marketplace. Pete grins, gazing out at the vendors selling food and goods. A boy runs up with a basket of fruit. At one stall, spices fill bowls. The truck arrives at a building with a columned balcony. The driver opens the door for Thomas and Pete.
Wow!
Egypt. I've missed this place.
You think we can go explore the bazaar?
At the airfield, a cargo truck pulls away. The pups ride inside the crate.
Dudes, I think we're on the road again.
When did you meet the puppies, Uncle Bobby?
Soon, be patient.
In the marketplace, Bobby perches on top of a food stand.
First, Bobby met Pete and Grandpa Thomas.
Bobby climbs down as Pete and his grandfather explore the rows of small shops.
This place is so cool!
Mudbud would have loved this.
Let me show you something, Peter. Mohammed's Fudlik.
A shopkeeper scoops seeds.
What are they?
Mohammed's. Dried seeds. Great for snacking.
A man and a girl shop nearby. Pete waves at the girl. She shyly uncurls her fingers to wave back. The monkey, Bobby, steals Pete's compass from his pocket.
Pete, give Bobby his favorite compass in trade.
Pete and his grandpa continue on without noticing.
Uncle Bobby, what did you trade Pete for compass?
Did Bobby say trade? I mean, borrow. Permanently.
Wellington walks, holding Ubasti. The cat jumps down.
No, Ubasti, come back. No, don't go into that awful market.
Okay, let's go. Slightly used camel, low mileage, owned by little old lady. Do I hear 500 pounds? Thumbs me a 500. Sold, okay. Let's have the money, okay.
And now, Babu, Bobby about to meet bad man and hairless cat.
Bobby sneaks up on Wellington as he talks with a vendor.
Welcome.
Oh, welcome. How very nice of you.
Ubasti catches Bobby stealing Wellington's pocket watch.
I wouldn't do that if I were you. There's nothing I detest more than a petty primate thief.
Hey, Bobby, not steal. I was just admiring shiny object.
He puts it back.
Beat it.
There you are.
Bobby runs. In the desert, Seti and Tariq sing as they drive the cargo truck. In the crate, Butterball eyes the dynamite sticks.
Guys, I think this is cheese. I'm starving.
Yuck, that cheese smells funny.
This is stinky cheese.
Butterball gnaws on a brick of C4 explosives.
I guess stinky cheese is an acquired taste. I better acquire some more.
At the marketplace, the girl taps Pete on the shoulder.
Salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. My name is Pete.
Oh, you don't speak English. Inti zehiyara?
You said that I am a cucumber.
Hey, you do speak English.
Yes, my father taught me. My name is Farah. You are American.
Yeah, I'm here with my grandpa. He's a great archaeologist.
We're going to discover Cleopatra's tomb.
Cleopatra's tomb?
No, not Cleopatra. Her cat, Cleocatra.
Farah.
Yalla, Habibti.
Oh, that is my father. I must go. It was very nice to meet you, Peter. Assalamu alaikum.
Farah hurries to her father, who glares at Pete. The cargo truck arrives in the city, the buddies hiding in the crate. Seti steps out of the passenger seat.
Guys, I'm not feeling too good.
Butterball, don't panic, but I don't think that was cheesy weight. It was explosive!
Oh no, I'm gonna explode!
Don't you dare Dutch oven us.
The men unload the crate.
Okay, Seti. The box making noises.
You're right, it is making noises. Okay.
They set it down.
Hey, get the crowbar. I'll get this one.
They pry off the lid.
Butterball, I take it back. Let her rip.
Disgusting.
Gross.
Fumes rise from the crate.
That's not good.
Boom, boom. Run! Run!
Seti and Tariq run and dive to the ground. The dogs escape the crate. Ubasti spots them.
It's Dirtbud and his team of dim-witted wonder dogs. How did they get here?
Tariq squeezes his eyes shut, his fingers in his ears.
Tariq!
Seti nudges him.
Tariq!
They look around. In the marketplace, the buddies regroup.
Where did Pete and Grandpa Thomas go?
Okay, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Let's split into groups. B-Dog, you go with Buddha so we can keep you out of trouble. Butterball, you stick with Mudbud. And I'll go by myself. I know how you boys hate shopping anyways.
All right, dudes. Let's go track them down.
The puppies run off. B-Dog and Buddha find a man playing a wind instrument. A basket in front of him sits open.
Not bad. I could lay down some sick beats to this.
A snake rises from the basket.
Don't worry, B-Dog. The snake is in a trance. He's meditating to the music.
Rosebud wanders up to a shop.
Wow, look at these colors.
Decorative coins trim a pink headscarf.
Let me give you something.
The shopkeeper puts the pink headscarf on Rosebud.
OMG, this is so to die for.
Okay, next up we have a beautiful animal.
At the auction, a camel stares.
Big and strong. 500. 500 pounds.
Mudbud and Butterball discover a food stand.
Come get your chicken kebab.
Oh, sweet mama. Kebabs.
We're on a mission here, Butterball.
But I search much better on a full stomach. Besides, the best way to know a new culture is to sample its cuisine.
Butterball waves his paw. Bobby watches nearby.
Okay, one kebab for you.
The monkey swipes the grilled meat.
Hey, come back here! Stop that thief!
Yo, dog, did you hear that? It sounds like Butterball's in trouble.
It came from over there. Come on, B-Dog.
Uncle Bobby, wait a sec. That's how you met the baddies? You stole Butterball's kebab?
You snooze, you lose. And Bobby, winner, winner, kebab dinner. Anyways, Bobby helping Butterball out. Chicken bone choking hazard for dogs.
Stop! Somebody stop that kebab lover!
Boys.
Rosebud joins the buddies in the chase. They corner Bobby in an alley. The monkey grips the grilled meat stick.
Got you cornered, you chicken thief.
Butterball, stop monkeying around.
I'm not monkeying around. He's monkeying around.
Please, don't hurt Bobby. Bobby, I'm but a humble monkey.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. This monkey is a no-good crook.
Here.
Bobby gives his fez hat with the tassel to Butterball.
See, now I give you something in trade.
I'm not much of a hat dog.
Ooh, looks good on you.
Okay, we'll call it even, Steven.
I am Bobby, not Steven.
I'm Butterball, and these are my brothers, Mudbud, Buddha, and B-Dog, and our little sis, Rosebud.
It is pleasure to meet you all. What brings you to Egypt?
Actually, we're looking for my people, my boy Peter and his grandpa. They were last seen with a bad man and a creepy cat with no fur.
Oh, I think I saw that cat today. Bobby does not like cats.
You've seen her?
Bobby wears Pete's compass.
Hey, that's Pete's compass, dude.
Bobby see it fall out of the boy's pocket. Finders keeper, losers weeper.
So you've seen Pete too? That compass is very important to him.
Bobby could give you compass, perhaps in trade.
He spots B-Dog's necklace.
Bobby likes shiny objects.
Ma Bling, you've got to be tripping.
Bobby will give you compass and help you with everything. Promise to get you to boy. B for Bobby look very nice on Bobby's hairy chest.
Sorry, dog. You can't have it.
B-Dog, he knows where Pete and Grandpa Thomas are. We need his help. Give him anything he wants.
Evening settles over the marketplace.
What's that, dudes?
It's the Muslim call to prayer.
It is getting late. Market not safe at night. Bobby no place where you can sleep. I will show you boy in the morning. Follow me, friends.
This is so not happening. I'm practically naked without my bling.
Bobby wears B-Dog's chain with a diamond B. He leads the puppies out of the market.
This way, buddies.
The auctioneer leads the camel. In the storage room, the buddies stare at the Egyptian coffin.
Yo, what's that, dog?
It appears to be a sarcophagus, B-Dog, where they put mummies in ancient Egypt.
Mummies?
Relax. They don't really come to life.
I knew that, dog.
The auctioneer approaches.
Quick, hide. Someone is coming.
The buddies duck behind furniture, and Bobby climbs into the Egyptian coffin, shutting the lid. The auctioneer brings the camel into the room.
Okay. Okay, now tomorrow you must sell. Or, okay? Okay. Bye-bye.
The auctioneer leaves. The buddies emerge, gathering around the camel.
Hey, what's wrong, little camel?
That mean human stole me from my mother, and he's trying to sell me.
You were taken from your mother? That's awful.
I must find her. My tribe is on their way into the desert. If I don't catch up with them soon, I might never see her again.
Tribe?
It is my family. I belong with the Bedouin tribe. We are travelers.
I get it. Kind of like my posse. The name's B-Dog.
My name is Cammy.
I'm Rosebud. And these are my brothers. Maybe we can help.
Bobby opens the coffin.
Mommy! Ah! Babby!
Is coast clear?
Babby, this is Cammy.
Assalamu alaikum, little camel.
Mudbud scratches at the door.
Dudes, I hate to be a bummer, but the door's locked. We're stuck in here.
Bobby going to solve everyone's troubles. You all sleep now. Bobby will go see what he can find out.
Bobby climbs up a workbench to a window and slips out between iron bars. Nighttime, a few men relax outside a hotel. Bobby climbs up the building and looks into an upstairs room. Inside, Wellington, Thomas, and Pete study the bronze disc in an old map.
Water's path. Have someone to support. We're in the desert. There's no water. We're here.
Ah, from the eye of the needle, take direction from Thoth.
What do you think it means, Grandpa?
Thoth, the moon god, take direction from the moon. From the eye of the needle, take direction from the moon. On the 12th day, the moon will light the way. There's a full moon tonight.
That looks like a needle. And there's a half moon carved in the top.
He points outside to a skinny tower.
The obelisk! Peter, let's go!
They grab the pieces of the bronze disc and hurry downstairs. Bobby observes. Downstairs, Pharaoh's father spies on the trio as they head for the base of the obelisk.
Oh, my. Dr. Wellington.
Yes, of course.
He hands Thomas his half. Thomas unites the pieces and places the disc on the obelisk, locking it in place. Vera's father watches attentively. The trio gazes up at the top of the stone tower. The pointy tip turns.
Incredible!
Light shines through a crescent moon shape. With a grim expression, Vera's father watches. A beam of light stretches from the tower across the desert to a distant cluster of trees.
What now? Well, now we need to calibrate the position of the beam and coordinate it on the map.
At the hotel, Thomas aims a measuring device at the obelisk.
Given the height of the tower, 60 feet, the light should be going south by southeast, 86 miles. And leading us to this oasis.
They're heading to the oasis. I must tell the buddies.
Bobby climbs back down the building, scampering over a man sleeping on the hotel's front steps. The man rouses, then sleeps again. In the dark bazaar, Farrah's father rides a camel. Bobby returns to the storage room. He hops onto a stool.
Buddies!
What's up?
Your people are leaving in the morning. They're on their way to Oasis, deep in desert.
Oasis? I've been there with my tribe before. That could be where they're headed to. I can show you the way, and we can help you find your tribe.
Bobby will hitch ride and slow them down.
Wearing a vest and baggy pants, the monkey climbs back out the window. At the hotel, Thomas sits at Pete's bedside.
Oh, what are you thinking?
How rad this is. Mudbud would have loved it.
Knowing Mudbud, he's probably off on an adventure of his own.
You know, for some reason, Mudbud doesn't feel that far away.
Pete gazes out the hotel window. As the morning sky brightens over Bastati, the outline of the moon fades. In the market, Tarit tinkers with the cargo truck's engine. Bobby peers around a wall, then hides behind a potted plant.
Ah! Batman's truck!
Bobby hops into the engine and disconnects a hose. He makes his way into the back of the truck.
See, Daisy.
Thomas and Pete exit the hotel with Wellington.
Chop, chop, my good man. We're 7 minutes behind schedule.
With Cammy and the pups.
I know that whistle. The man is coming to take me away.
Not if we have anything to do with it.
I have an idea, Cammy. You up for it?
Anything to get back to my mom.
Wellington's truck and the cargo truck head off. The auctioneer unlocks the storage room. Cammy stands up. The man opens the door and she spits goo in his face.
Wow, gnarly loogie do that.
Come on, buddies, let's go.
Cammy knocks over the auctioneer. The buddies run out of the storage room. The buddies trot through the city, dodging people's feet. They follow Cammy to the city gate.
Now, the buddies and their newfound camel friend escape and follow Bobby into the desert.
Where were you, Uncle Bobby?
Bobby hitch ride on top of truck. Bobby, sneaky monkey.
Yellow.
Who are they, Grandpa?
Well, they're better ones, Pete. They're a nomadic people of the desert.
The tribe and their camels block Wellington's trucks. Farrah's father faces the intruders.
Yalla.
Here, you! Move your disgusting beasts! I'm in a hurry!
You should be very careful. This area is known for bandits and thieves.
Yes.
Safe travels.
He guides his camel away. Pete waves at Farrah, who waves back. As the trucks carry on, Bobby rides on top. White-hot rays radiate from the sun. Cammy escorts the buddies through the desert. The pups lag, paws patting on the rippled sand.
Come on, guys. We just have to make it to the oasis.
I'm running on fumes. Cammy, aren't you hungry?
We camels were born to survive in the heat and go a long time without food and water. We can regurgitate the food in our stomachs and rechew it, so we can go longer without a meal.
Ew. TMI, Cammy.
Good idea.
Butterball coughs.
Butterball, gross.
I love leftovers.
They march on. Elsewhere, the trucks sit parked. Smoke wafts from the cargo truck engine. Bobby smirks.
What happened? What to do?
I told you, check out the truck before we left.
But I did. You did?
Oh, I swear your brain is the size of a monkey's.
Bobby sticks out his tongue.
For heaven's sakes, what's wrong with it?
It's broken.
I don't suppose you know anything about motorized vehicles.
Well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Thomas climbs out.
Well, let's see what the problem is. Oh, my goodness.
He attaches the hose.
Hose came loose. Just put some coolant in it.
Elsewhere, the buddies trail behind Cammy. Later, the trucks approach the cluster of trees.
Look, there's the oasis just up ahead.
How did all this grow in the middle of the desert?
Even though we're in the driest of places, centuries ago in Cleopatra's time, there was a river here. And that river is still running deep underground.
We'll set up camp, look for the next clue at daybreak.
All right.
The buddies and Cammy continue their trek.
Are we close, Cammy?
I am not sure, Rosebud. I think so.
Aw, snap. We're doomed. Doomed.
Think positively, B-Dog.
I am positive. Positively sure we're lost in the middle of the desert.
Do not worry, buddies. My tribe has been here. There's some camel poop on the ground right there.
Brown droppings form a big pile. Rosebud sniffs the air.
Ugh, that's camel poop, all right.
We're gonna need a bulldozer to clean up that mess. Cause a pooper scooper definitely is not doing it.
It's getting too dark to follow their trail.
The dudette is correct, Mundo. We'll rest here for the night and get our groove back tomorrow.
At a campfire, Pete sits with his grandfather.
So, young Peter, what story would you like to hear this time?
Can you tell me the story about the cat's eye necklace?
All right. The cat goddess Bastet gave a special necklace with a cat's eye jewel to Cleopatra, the ruler of Egypt. Cleopatra's favorite feline, Cleocatra, was furious that Bastet gave the necklace to a human. She decided to steal the necklace, but a vigilant puppy, Budassi, saw Cleocatra.
In a flashback, Budassi barks at the cat. Cleopatra wakes up. The cat runs away, leaving the necklace.
And Cleopatra was so mad over being betrayed by her trusted cat that she used the necklace to make dogs man's best friend. And cats were banished from the palace.
Cleopatra raises her hands and lightning strikes. The sky lights up at the campsite, too.
Grandpa, is it gonna rain?
No, that's just dry lightning from an electrical storm. It happens all the time out here in the desert. It looks far enough away. I'm sure we're perfectly safe. Time to hit the rack, though. We have an early day tomorrow. You get a good sleep. I'm gonna go stretch these old legs of mine.
Grandpa, thank you for bringing me on this adventure.
It's my pleasure, Peter.
They hug.
I couldn't ask for a better partner.
Elsewhere in the desert, the pups sleep in the sand.
Mudbud, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just sorry I got us into this. I'm really worried about Pete.
Fate set us on this path, Mudbud. Every journey has a deeper reason.
Good night, buddies. You're the best of friends. Sweet dreams, everybody.
Lightning flashes as Cammy and the dogs rest their heads, sheltered by a few boulder piles. Morning, the sun peeks over the horizon. Cammy and the buddies wake up.
Wake up, buddies. It's morning.
Let's rock and roll. Who knows how far ahead of us they are?
The buddies shuffle off. Cammy follows with slow, even steps. The young camel's back has a single hump. At the camp, Pete joins his grandpa outside a tent.
Hey, Grandpa, I'm gonna go explore. Have you seen my compass?
No, I haven't, Peter. Well, you go ahead. I'll join you in a minute.
Nearby, Wellington stretches. Farah jumps out from behind a well.
Ah! You caught me! Hello, Farah.
Hello, Peter.
When did you get here?
late last night. Sometimes we travel at night when it is cooler.
Where are you going?
Our tribe is making its way through the desert. It is our way, nothing more.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to be nosy.
My daughter says you are here with your grandfather.
Pete nods.
This man you are traveling with.
Yella, yella.
Does your grandfather know him well?
He just met him a few days ago.
You would do well not to trust him. Be safe. The desert can be a very unforgiving place.
See you later, Pharaoh. Bye.
Peter.
Thomas walks up.
I see you've made a friend.
Grandpa, that man said not to trust...
Right, chaps. No time for chattering. Time to find the next clue.
Well,
Thomas considers the well.
This well was built centuries ago. Mm. This was the widest part of the river. And the Egyptians would have built an access to the river running down below.
Thomas trips.
Are you okay, Grandpa?
Yes!
With a small brush, he dusts off a carved stone.
Jackpot!
Wellington rushes over.
What? What have you found? It's the cat's eye symbol. This must be the entrance.
Bobby the monkey hops down from the cargo truck. He climbs up a tree to spy on the group. Seti, Tariq, and Thomas pry off the stone lid.
All right. Easy does it. Slow. Hold it.
A staircase leads underground. Shining a flashlight, Thomas and Pete walk down into the well. Light from a skylight illuminates a wide pool.
Careful.
Much light is coming in here. Ah, sun must be directly over the opening of the well.
Thomas joins the two halves of the bronze disc. He wades into the murky pool and sets the disc onto a pedestal in the middle. It locks in place. Beams of light shoot out, hitting spots on opposite sides of the well.
Peter. Go clean off that part of the wall over there. And, Seti, clean that other spot.
Hurry along, hurry along.
Pete scrubs the wall, revealing a symbol. Seti uncovers another. Wellington holds Ubasti.
Well, what does it mean? That one stands for royalty in this part of Egypt. And the other is called Amenat. It's the source of great power for the gods. Tariq, the map.
Tariq fetches the map and Thomas unrolls it.
Thank you.
Yes, I knew.
I think we have it. I know where Cleopatra's tomb lies.
In the desert, Cammy leads the five puppies. An animal skeleton lies buried in the sand.
I don't know how much farther I can go. We need water.
We can't stop, dudes.
They forge onward. In the marketplace, Bobby and Babu climb up onto an awning.
This way, Babu.
As they look out, Bobby continues his story.
Bobby have brilliant plan to slow down bad men.
What did you do, Uncle Bobby?
Hold your camels, Babu. You will see.
Keeping an eye on the explorers, Bobby hops out of the truck. The small monkey trots over to the tire, takes out a small knife, and stabs it. He runs to another tire and stabs it.
Ubasti, you've been very, very close.
The hairless cat spots Bobby.
What's that petty primate doing here? Up to no good.
But just when Bobby was almost complete, hairless cat caught Bobby monkey-handed.
No.
Oh, no!
Never fear, Babu. Bobby scare cat with big muscles. Scary cat!
What do you think you're doing?
He hides the knife.
Nothing.
I've traveled far to find Cleopatra's tomb, and no one is going to stop me.
Bobby runs away. Wellington strolls up.
Basti, Kitty, there you are, my little darling.
At the truck, Thomas opens the door and Pete climbs in. He waves to Farah, who waves back sadly. In the desert, Cammy and the buddies continue on. Butterball stares.
Hey, what's that?
Plates of food lie on a picnic blanket. The image disappears.
What is it, Butterball?
Can't you see it? Food, hot dogs, pizza, and lemonade. They've even got ice cream. Oh, sweet mama.
Butterball runs onto the blanket and dives into a plate of hamburgers. He rolls around in the food. The buddies stare at Butterball rolling in the sand.
Dudes, I think Butterball has lost his marbles.
Butterball is seeing a mirage. The heat makes her brain do funny things sometimes.
Come on, guys, dig in!
Butterball, you gotta snap out of it!
He keeps rolling.
Now that's what I call a sandwich.
Where'd the buffet go?
Mudbud spots the cluster of trees.
Look, what's that? It looks like trees.
Trees? You've gotta be hallucinatrippin', dog.
Mudbud shakes his fur.
I can still see them. It's real. And where there's trees, there must be water.
It's the oasis.
We're saved, dudes.
The buddies quicken their steps as they head to the oasis with Cammy. Tall palm trees surround the stone well. Mudbud and B-Dog sniff the sand, discovering the entrance with its stone lid ajar.
Yo, dogs, check it out.
The five buddies scoot down the stone steps leading into the well. They line up, gazing at the pool.
I've never been so happy to take a bath in my whole life.
Surf's up, dude.
Yippee!
Woo-hoo! All right.
The pups splash into the pool. B-Dog retreats.
There's no way I'm going in there without my floaties, dogs.
In the desert,
what now?
The truck stops. At the well, Cammy faces the dogs.
My tribe and your tribe are not here.
They must have traveled on already.
A fruit drops.
What the? What was that?
Relax, B-Dog. It was probably just the wind.
Another one bonks him.
And that wind has sick paw-eye coordination.
Another hits Rosebud.
Hey, they're falling from that tree up there.
Those are dates, Rosebud.
Bobby throws one. He shakes the tree and the dates fall on the dogs.
Bobby?
Bobby sticks out his tongue, then climbs down.
Bobby! We're so glad we found you!
Buddies and my camel friend, I am so glad you have made it.
Bobby, what happened to Pete and Grandpa Thomas?
Bobby was following boy and men and cat. Cat very scary. She find Bobby, so Bobby run and hide in oasis.
Are they okay?
Very much so, friend Mudbud. They are on their way to Cleocatra's tomb.
That's great, dog. Too bad we have no idea where it is.
Bobby has idea. Bobby see Bedouin tribe following. They can help.
My mom! Come on, buddies, we'll go to the camp.
What about the others? We can't let them get to the tomb before us.
Bobby has dealt with that.
Bobby shows them his knife.
If we hurry, we can reach the Bedouin tribe before nightfall.
At the trucks, Wellington confronts Seti and Tariq.
This is outrageous. How did this happen?
Seti shrugs.
This is all your fault, nitwits. Idiots.
Well, I guess we're going to be stuck here for the night. So we may as well make ourselves useful, Pete, and unload the truck.
In the desert, a scorpion with sharp claws skitters over a rock. Bobby rides on Cammy's back.
So, Babby, dog. How about you give me back my blink?
Deal is deal, friend. All trades are final.
I can't wait until you meet my family, buddy. They will be very grateful for all you have done.
Up ahead, the nomads set up camp.
That's it! Many thanks to you, buddies. And you too, Babby. I'm home.
Bobby climbs down and Cammy starts toward the camp.
Cammy!
Mom!
Oh, I can't believe it's you.
Cammy and her mom walk toward each other. Farah and her dad smile.
Cammy!
The two camels kiss.
Mwah!
Bobby and the buddies hurry to the Bedouins.
My dear Cammy, I thought I would never see you again.
A bad man tried to sell me, but my new friends Babby and the buddies helped me escape.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing my baby back to me. How could I ever repay you?
We could do lunch sometime. Soon, preferably.
We welcome the opportunity to create good karma. Namaste.
Yo, B-Dog's the name, and these dogs are my tribe.
My name is Mala, and my tribe would be thrilled to have you as our honored guests.
At night, the Bedouin tribe gathers around a campfire. Dancers dressed in veils and jewels perform together, kicking up sand. Buddha and B-Dog listen to musicians.
Yo, these dogs got it going.
Rosebud watches Farah play a game where pawns move across squares on a grid.
That looks like an interesting game.
Here you go, buddies. Dinner is served.
My three favorite words. Pinch me. I want to make sure this isn't a mirage.
Giant black bugs top a dish.
Cammy, no offense, but my dinner looks an awful lot like bugs.
Dude, your dinner is bugs.
Those are scarab beetles. They are a delicacy of the Bedouins.
Do you have anything less delicate, like pizza or maybe some hamburgers?
Whoa, Butterball turning down food? That just blew my mind.
They're quite good, Butterball. I promise.
Okay, here goes nothing. Over the teeth, past the gums, look out stomach, here the bugs come.
Butterball chomps a bug.
Butterball likes scallops?
Crunchy, but not bad. Tastes like chicken.
Bobby claps. At Wellington's camp, Pete wanders out and spies on Wellington in his tent. Seti massages his boss's shoulders.
That archaeologist is getting far too nosy. It's typical American. Can't mind his P's and Q's. But tomorrow, we'll be rid of the wretched man and his annoying grandson. And the treasure will be mine. Well, ours.
Pete backs away and stumbles.
Thank you.
Wellington looks up. Pete races back to his tent.
Grandpa, wake up! I heard Mr. Wellington say he's gonna get rid of us and keep the treasure for himself.
What? Peter? Really? Oh, no. I should have known he was just a grave robber.
What are we gonna do?
Well, first off, we need to be very careful. Philip could be dangerous.
Tariq nabs Pete.
Could he now?
I'm done helping you, Philip.
Oh, I think not, Professor Howard. For the sake of your precious grandson, you'll do exactly what I want you to do.
Morning. At the Bedouin camp, Farah's dad prepares a hot air balloon. Bobby and the buddies look on.
What are they doing?
They are sending balloon up in sky to look for bad man and cat. Bobby believe this is the way we find your people. Travel by air is much, much faster.
Let me get this straight, Monkey Dude. You want us to fly up in that balloon?
Bobby, do you know how to fly that thing?
Bobby is good pilot. The best.
The monkey licks his finger and holds it up in the air.
Wind is going in the right direction.
Bobby climbs into the balloon's basket.
Quick, buddies, come.
The buddies hop in, too. Bobby cuts the anchor rope. The balloon floats up into the sky.
Buddies, I can never thank you enough.
Bye, buddies. Be safe.
Bye, Cammy. Bye, Mala. I hope we see you again.
Good luck, buddies.
The balloon drifts high above the sand dunes. Farrah's father spots the balloon drifting off. He hastens into a tent. Inside, he directs a gray-haired man to check a live video feed on a computer. Bobby sticks out his tongue. The balloon floats over the desert. The buddies hang their front paws over the basket.
Look! It's the bad dude's jeep!
We would have never found them on foot.
They must have gone in the truck. Follow the tire tracks.
Bobby does not control wind. Allah does.
Thomas drives the cargo truck through the desert. Wellington and Pete sit beside him. They stop.
I think this is it, Peter.
Seti and Tariq hop out of the back. Thomas takes out his map.
So? Where is it?
Pete spots the buddy's balloon.
I'm sure it's here somewhere. I can feel the energy. The energy? Ooh. You worthless twit! You've led us nowhere!
Grandpa, look! A balloon!
Oh. Oh, don't be silly, Peter. There are no baboons in the desert. I think maybe you've been out in the sun too long. You should drink some water.
Wellington shakes his head. Mudbud peers out of the balloon.
Dudes, there they are! Let's land this puppy!
Land? Babby, please tell me you know how to land this thing.
This part Bobby is not so familiar with.
Oh, great. We're just gonna float away forever.
Don't worry, B-Dog. Panic is a wasted emotion.
Bobby, no, what make balloon go down? Hold on!
Putting his knife in his teeth, Bobby climbs a rope up the side of the teardrop-shaped balloon. He cuts a hole in it. The monkey climbs down. The balloon falls.
Oh, no!
Forget about what I said before. Time to panic.
They land on a mound of sand. The basket rolls down the sandy slope. The buddies lie buried in the sand. Bobby stands up. The monkey puts his hand on his head.
Bobby is dizzy.
You can say that again, dog.
Bobby is dizzy.
The pups dig out and follow Bobby. At the cargo truck, Wellington shelters Ubasti.
It feels like there's a sandstorm coming on.
No, nonsense, just a little breeze. You two, go to the top of that dune and have a look around.
With the buddies, Bobby spots something. A churning cloud of sand looms closer.
It is a sandstorm.
Butterball's fez hat flies off. Seti climbs up a dune and spots the storm. He runs back.
Run for the truck, Peter!
Thomas picks up his grandson. The puppies face the storm.
Quickly, buddies! We can take shelter in that cave!
They run to an opening in the dune, dashing into a dark passage. Wellington's hat flies off.
He saved the civility! Run, the civility!
The storm overtakes the dunes. Wellington clutches Ubasti and returns to the truck. He sits in the passenger seat beside Pete and Thomas. The wind whips sand across the desert. Bobby and the others hide in a dark chamber.
This is most fortunate, my friends. We shall be safe here until the storm passes.
Bobby strikes a match and lights a small lantern. He carries it over to the puppies. Light shines on a stone serpent. Two fangs protrude from its gaping mouth.
Dogs! This is really freaking me out.
I believe this is some sort of secret entrance used by those who built Cleocatra's tomb. But this secret entrance is protected by a large serpent.
Serpent? What's that?
It is a snake. Bobby no like snakes.
Oh, for once can't something be easy peasy? Why can't it be protected by a bunny rabbit or something vegetarian?
A snake slithers toward them.
Dudes, long, creepy, slimy thing at 12 o'clock.
Hold it, hold it! Uncle B, there's a snake coming? Is this the part where you save the bodies?
Yes, big and slimy snake. But no fear, no challenge too great for Bobby. Bobby about to outwit snake.
He crosses his fingers.
I promise.
I am afraid where you go. I cannot follow buddies.
In the cave, Bobby runs off.
Wait a second. You ran away?
Yes. Bobby ran to see if he could find help. Bobby is wise.
Buddha steps forward. The snake rears up, flaring its hood.
Buddha? What are you doing, dog?
Calm yourself, B-Dog.
Buddha stares into the snake's beady eyes.
I am Slither, the serpent protector of Cleocatra's tomb.
We were hoping to secure your permission to enter the tomb.
I was put here to protect the tomb from all those who would seek its riches without wisdom. Only the descendants of Budassi may pass. You must look me in the eyes. If I can hypnotize you, then your intentions are not pure, and you will become my supper.
That's the worst dinner invite I've ever heard.
And if I win and hypnotize you?
Then you are descendants of Budassi, guardian of man, and I will let you pass.
B-Dog, remember the snake at the bazaar?
Uh-huh.
Lay down some beats.
I think I got you, dog.
I accept your challenge. Shanti, 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 Shanti.
Piercing eyes stare from the snake's scaly face. Buddha's eyes fix a steady gaze. Slither blinks his eyes closed.
He's gone. Buddha, you won!
Way to go, dude!
All right, Buddha!
Slither opens his eyes.
You are the descendants of Budassi. I have been waiting so long for you. You and your friends may pass, but beware of what's said, for there are more tests along this path.
Slither turns around. He opens his jaw and fire shoots from his mouth, lighting several torches along the hallway. He faces the buddies.
If you need Slither again, I will be here, waiting. Good luck, buddies.
You heard the serpent, dude. Let's be careful. You never know what's around the next corner.
In that case, ladies first.
Rosebud leads her brothers. At the cargo truck, wipers clear off the windshield. The vehicle sits half buried in the sand. Thomas pushes open the door. The men and Pete step around the sand heap. Pete points at an uncovered pyramid-shaped tomb. Two cat statues flank the entrance.
Grandpa, look!
Oh my.
Wellington hugs Ubasti. Thomas stands with Pete.
It's Cleocatra's tomb.
We're rich, my dear. We're rich.
Only in my dreams have I imagined this moment.
They approach the tomb. Seti and Tariq peek out of the back of the cargo truck.
Oh, hey, Tariq! Tariq, we are alive! Tariq!
Thomas inspects the tomb door.
This is a single stone slab. It must weigh thousands of pounds. There's no way we can open it without heavy equipment. Even then, it'll take months.
No, it won't.
Why do you think I brought the explosives? For a fireworks display?
But the tomb is thousands of years old. We can't just use dynamite on it.
Watch me.
Tariq, Seti, get the explosives.
Inside the tomb, Buddha and Rosebud find a long patch of sand in a hallway.
Oh no! Quicksand!
The other pups catch up.
How will we get across?
No problemo, dudes. I'm an expert in all things dirt related. Just roll with it.
Mudbutt rolls across the sand to the other side. On the other side, he spots a button etched with a paw print.
Huh?
He slaps it with his paw. A platform rises, extending across the quicksand.
You can make your way across now, dudes and dudette.
The buddies run across. At the tomb door, Seti and Tariq unroll a fuse. Thomas confronts Wellington.
The discovery of Cleocatra's tomb is priceless. It belongs to the Egyptian people.
Oh, please. I'm every bit the archaeologist you are, Professor Howard. I simply do it for profit, not for silly accolades.
No, Mr. Wellington. What you do is illegal and immoral.
Grandpa, there's a slot in the door.
No! Hey, get away from that!
Thomas runs to the door and disconnects the fuse just before Seti pushes the plunger. Tariq and Seti put their fingers in their ears. They look up with puzzled expressions. Thomas brushes off the slot in the door.
The disc! Philip!
Wellington hands over his half. Thomas puts them together and slides the bronze disc into the slot. The stone door slides open.
There, you see? I've gotten you here. Come along, Peter.
Thomas shines a flashlight, leading the way inside. A torch illuminates the entryway.
That's weird. The oil torches are lit. Someone else is here.
It can only be those filthy mutts. They've beaten me to it.
The opening of the door must have triggered the lighting of the torches.
Ubasti jumps down.
What is it, Ubasti? What? No. Ubasti, come back here. Ubasti? Ubasti?
Wellington follows her.
Ubasti?
Thomas and Pete step close behind. At the door, Seti and Tariq edge inside. Elsewhere in the tomb, the dogs race upstairs.
I sure wish the ancient Egyptians had invented elevators.
The buddies stop.
Yeah, what's the holdup?
There's something strange about this hallway.
Carved symbols mark a grid on the floor.
You guys are worrying too much. This room looks pretty normal to me.
Remember what Slither said.
That snake's been trapped here too long. He's loony, yo.
B-Dog falls through a trap door.
And then B-Dog fell into the pit of snakes.
Oh, no!
Don't worry. At the last second, Bobby grabbed B-Dog's tail and saved him.
Butterball grabs B-Dog's tail in his teeth.
I thought you ran out of the tomb when the scary snake came.
You worry too much about details. Anyway, like I said, Butterball grabbed B-Dog's tail.
B-Dog dangles over the pit of snakes.
Hang on! Butterball's got you by the tail!
He stares down at the tangle of snakes.
Call me!
Butterball tugs on the furry tail. He pulls B-Dog to safety.
You know what? I'm gonna bounce. What do you say I meet your dogs back in Fernfield?
Rosebud studies symbols on the wall.
It's ancient writing called hieroglyphics. I saw Bedouins playing this, but much smaller. You have to get to the other side, but can only move on specific squares. All right, boys, let a girl show you the way.
Rosebud hops onto the grid, zigzagging across the squares. She makes it to the other side.
Come on, boys. Jump only on the squares that I did.
Her brothers hop across, too. Wellington, Thomas, and Pete walk through the tomb. Behind them, Seti and Tariq scramble to catch up. Rosebud leads the buddies to a spacious chamber with a wide disc on the floor. The five puppies stand on the central disc and gaze at the stone walls.
Dudes, I don't get it. It's just a big empty room.
Behind them, a stone door slides shut.
Not a good sign.
In a corner, a scarab beetle crawls. It falls off and hits Butterball in the nose. He gobbles it up.
Bugs. I love bugs.
That's disgusting.
A little slimy when they're uncooked, but still not bad.
More bugs emerge from a crack.
I don't think they appreciate you eating their cousin.
Hundreds of beetles crawl over the walls and floor. Rosebud spots a button with a paw print.
Hey, it's another one of those buttons.
Rosebud pushes it. The disc rotates and the buddies fall into the floor. They slide down a chute. They land in a new chamber. Torches illuminate an ornate coffin resembling a cat.
Dudes, this looks like Cleocatra's tomb!
A jeweled necklace hangs around the cat's neck.
It's the lost collar of Cleocatra.
Thomas and the others reach the quicksand. Wellington inserts his cane.
Oh no! It's a quicksand trap!
Tariq, we need a bridge. Lie down. Well, all right. Seti, you lie down.
Yes, you do it, Seti!
Seti pushes Tariq into the sand.
Well done. Well done. Yes, very brave, very brave.
Wellington walks across Tariq.
Are you ready?
Thomas right. helps Pete hop onto Tariq. The boy steps gingerly.
Move it. Careful, Peter!
I'm so sorry. Come on, Peter!
Pete leaps to the other side. Thomas crosses next.
Here he comes! It's okay! Here he comes!
Finally, Seti crawls across his friend, who sinks deeper into the sand. Wellington heads off.
Right, well, carry on.
Thomas pushes the paw print button.
What do you think it means, Grandpa?
It's raising him up.
The platform lifts Tariq out of the sand.
Tariq, you're safe.
They pull him to the other side.
Hey, Tariq, you're safe.
The dogs face Cleocatra's coffin.
What should we do?
We gotta take the collar for safekeeping. So you basti doesn't get her paws on it. Not just for us, but for all mankind and dogkind.
That bling is super fly, yo. I'll get it.
B-Dog nudges the collar-like necklace with his nose. He slips it over his head and around his neck. An eye glows in the centerpiece.
B-Dog, why are you wearing the collar?
Relax, sis. I gave that monkey my bling, so I'm just borrowing this until we get home.
Ubasti rushes up onto the coffin and faces B-Dog.
Ubasti?
Now, if you would kindly hand over what is rightfully mine.
Seems to me you're outnumbered 5-1.
Well, we'll see about that.
Cat statues guard the room.
Guys, is it just me, or are those statues moving?
I believe the numbers just got more in my favor, blubber ball.
Uh-oh.
I'd like to remain optimistic, but they definitely don't seem friendly.
Run, dudes, run!
The dogs race out of the tomb. Ubasti bounds after them. The cat statues spring to life and join her. Wellington and the others arrive at the grid with the symbols. The open square reveals the pit of snakes below. Thomas shines his flashlight.
Wow. It's like Senet. The ancient Egyptian board game.
Well, right. Off you go.
Wellington pushes Seti. He hops over the snakes but falls through another square.
Don't look, Peter!
Now, Tariq, you're next.
Off you go!
Tariq turns and runs away. In a passageway, the dogs stop. The eye glows on B-Dog's Cleocatra collar.
I think we've lost them.
His eyes resemble cat eyes.
Yo, dogs? I feel kinda weird. Meow!
Did you just meow?
Oh, no, you didn't call me a scaredy cat. They'd be fat words. Meow!
I'm pretty sure you just meowed, dude.
There's no way I just meowed.
I believe it's imperative that we remove the collar from B-Dog. It appears to be turning him into a cat.
Meow! No! You cannot take my bling! Meow!
B-Dog, no! Come back here!
B-Dog sprints off. The cats appear.
Let's divide and conquer.
The buddies split up. Now, Pete faces the grid.
I can do it, Grandpa.
Wait, Peter. Listen to me.
Do it.
Wellington glowers.
Only jump on the squares I tell you, all right?
Uh-huh. Start here.
Now, plow.
Pete jumps on a square.
Lion. Man. Trees and life.
Come on, Grandpa.
after you.
Thomas steps forward. In the passageways, stone cats chase the buddies. Mudbud reaches the quicksand. He rolls across it. He reaches the other side. Two stone cats sneer at him from across the sand.
Come play in the kitty litter, dudettes.
The cats pounce on the sand and sink. Elsewhere, Rosebud runs away from the stone cats. She reaches the room with the Senate game squares. The puppy nimbly hops across. The cats follow. They jump on the squares. One square opens up and the cats fall through the floor.
That'll teach him to underestimate a blonde with a pink bow.
In the disc room, the stone door slides open. Butterball positions himself on the disc. Two stone cats stalk forward.
Wait, I just need a little lunch break. Hey, Bugs! Bon appetit!
He presses the paw print button and the disc tips. He drops down to the chute, leaving the cats. Bugs crawl down the walls and surround them. The chute carries Butterball to Cleocatra's tomb.
Whoa! The service must be terrible!
Butterball races out. Now, two cats chase Buddha. In the room with the snake sculpture, Buddha faces off with them.
Meditation could help with your anger issues.
Slither emerges from the sculpture. He rears up at the cats.
You will become my supper.
He stares at the cats. Their eyes glow and they back away. Thomas, Wellington, and Pete arrive in Cleocatra's tomb.
It's amazing.
I don't believe it.
Wellington looks at the empty pedestals in the coffin.
There's nothing here. Someone beat us to it.
In the passageways, B-Dog finds a mouse.
Uh-oh, mouse! I love chasing mice! Meow!
His cat eyes glowing yellow, B-Dog runs after the mouse. The mouse disappears into a hole. B-Dog scratches at it, then spots his reflection in a mirror.
Ah! It's my worst nightmare! I'm turning into a cat! Get this collar off me!
He shakes it off. The other buddies arrive.
Are you okay, B-Dog?
I think so.
He coughs up a clump of fur.
Crossed over to the dark side.
Ubasti sneaks in and puts on Cleocatra's necklace.
It's finally mine.
The collar!
Mudbud chases Ubasti. In Cleocatra's tomb.
This is perhaps the greatest historical discovery since King Tut's tomb.
You were right, Grandpa.
Ubasti runs in wearing the necklace. The hairless cat hops onto the coffin.
You found it, Ubasti. Bring it to me. Kitty, 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 kitty.
Ubasti scratches Wellington.
Ow!
Ubasti!
Finally, the moment I've been waiting for my whole life. Now's the time for cats to rule. First, dogs will be banished.
Mudbud runs in.
Your best friends here will be nothing more than my slaves.
On Cleocatra's coffin, the eyes glow.
It's happening!
Ubasti turns to stone.
Ubasti?
The coffin's eyes return to normal. Pete runs to his puppy.
Mudbud?
Get here.
A door slides open, revealing a heap of treasure.
My goodness!
Wellington stares.
It's mine. Get out of my way. I'm rich!
Philip, I can't let you steal these invaluable artifacts.
You can't. I can take anything I like. Who's going to stop me? Me!
Wellington and Thomas face off with swords.
Oh, Professor!
It might interest you to know that I was fencing champion at Oxford.
So be it!
Their swords clash as they fight. Pete watches, his arm around Mudbud. Now, Bobby acts out the story for Babu, waving a banana.
On guard! And he joist! And he berry! And Bobby helps sword fight bad man.
But how could you sword fight if you weren't there, Uncle Bobby? Remember?
You want me to tell this story or not? Now, the ending is coming soon. Hold on to your banana.
In the tomb, the men continue their sword fight. Pete slips into the treasure room and takes a large gold plate.
Is that all you've got, old man?
Nope. This is.
Pete bashes Wellington with the plate. He wavers. He collapses. The rest of the buddies return to the tomb. Pete hugs his grandfather.
Oh,
Peter! Thank you so much.
What happened?
It says here there was a curse put on the gem to prevent any cat from misusing it again. If a cat was greedy for power, it would get everlasting life. But in the form...
Wellington steals the necklace.
Philip!
Let's get him, Grandpa!
Come back here, Philip! Get him!
He's getting away!
Everyone chases Wellington.
Where's Uncle Bobby this whole time?
Good question, my nephew. It is now time for Uncle Bobby to save the day! Bobby, the hero of all heroes, the great adventurer, the world famous...
Okay, I got it. Now, tell Babu the ending. I am on the edge of my hammock.
The buddies chase Wellington through the passageways. He emerges from the tomb, stumbling through the doorway and into the sandy desert. He clutches Cleocatra's necklace. Bobby rides Cammy the camel straight for Wellington. Behind him is the Bedouin tribe.
Let's get him, Cammy!
Cammy closes in and Bobby hops onto Wellington, hitting him on the head. He drops the necklace. Wellington throws Bobby to the ground.
Nobody messes with my friends.
Cammy spits goo in his face.
I can't see.
Thomas, Pete, and the buddies escape the tomb just as Farrah's father strides up to Wellington.
We know all about you. Grave robber, raider of sacred places. Amir Sabah, Egyptian secret service. You are under arrest, Mr. Wellington.
Wellington gapes. Thomas smiles. Nighttime. In the marketplace, men twirl torches and musicians play. Women in long skirts dance. Onlookers clap and smile. Pete and Thomas stand with Farrah and her father on the balcony. Thomas wears a headscarf and Pete wears a traditional cap and robe.
Thank you for your great discovery, Mr. Howard. The Egyptian government is most grateful and is willing to compensate you for your efforts, of course. You are a national hero.
Finding the treasure is all the compensation an archaeologist needs. And if I'm a hero, then my young archaeologist partner is one too. Without him, I wouldn't be standing here right now.
Thanks, Grandpa. But the buddies deserve a lot of the credit.
We'd like to thank you two dudes. We couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, Docs, you two were the bomb.
It was Bobby's pleasure.
And mine too. Maybe we'll see you both again.
Next time there is a treasure to be found, Bobby will be happy to help.
In the name of Her Majesty the Queen, untie me. Take me to the British Embassy.
We must go now and take this dirty grave robber to the jail where he belongs. Thank you again. If there is anything I can do for you, please let me know.
Amir, I do actually have a request.
In Fernfield, two cat sculptures stand outside the museum. A banner reads, "The Lost Treasure of Cleocatra." Everyone gathers inside.
First off, I'd like to thank the Egyptian government for allowing the debut of this great archaeological find to happen here in our hometown of Fernfield, saving our museum. And I must extend my gratitude to six very important little archaeologists. First, my grandson, Peter. And then, of course, the buddies. And now, without further ado, the lost cat's eye necklace of Cleopatra.
He unveils it. Pete's mom snaps a photo. Sniffer faces the puppies.
If only your great-grandpappy Digger could see you. Chips off the old block. Five doggone explorer pups. He'd be very proud.
That's a cool necklace.
Yes, it is beautiful, isn't it, Pete? And I'm glad we found it, so the world can enjoy it too. But I learned a very important lesson on this trip. More valuable than even gold or jewels, I have the greatest treasure in the world right here.
Thomas smiles at Pete. Nighttime, lights glow at the museum. Thomas and Farrah's dad observe the necklace.
I hope it will be safe, Amir. We wouldn't want that necklace falling into the wrong hands.
Worry not, my friend.
A guard sets an alarm. Laser beams surround the necklace.
No man will be able to get through that.
They leave. A coffin opens and Bobby the monkey pops out. He mischievously rubs his hands together.
And that is the story of the greatest treasure Bobby ever discovered.
His nephew scampers away.
Wait. Where is Babu going?
That was an amazing story, Uncle Bobby. But...
Bobby no like but.
Babu knows Uncle Bobby exaggerates. Scare off cat with big muscles, save butterball from snake bit, sword fight with humans, all tall tales. Babu not even sure Bobby is a real treasure hunter. Babu going back to Cairo to see if Babu can get back into organ grinder school.
Okay, fine, Babu. Tis true. Bobby tend to exaggerate. Just a little bit. But this adventure story is true. Bobby really meet the treasure buddies.
Sorry, Bobby. You cry monkey too many times.
Maybe this will change your mind?
Bobby opens the coffin and takes out Cleocatra's necklace. The eye glows.
The lost color of Cleocatra!
Words appear. The end. Audio description by WGBH with funding by Disney. Voiced by Rebecca Downey.
A scaredy cat? They'd be fat words.
That'll teach him to underestimate a blonde with a pink bow.
No problemo, dudes. I'm an expert in all things dirt-related.
Fate set us on this path, Mudbud. Every journey has a deeper reason.
Over the teeth, past the gums, look out stomach, here the bugs come.
I met your great-grandpappy when I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
I am Slither, the serpent protector of Cleocatra's tomb.
There's nothing I detest more than a petty primate thief.
It is a snake.
Bobby no like snakes.
It is another one of your tall tales, Uncle Bobby. My mom says you exaggerate sometimes.
Butterball is seeing a mirage. The heat makes her brain do funny things sometimes.
My name is Mala, and my tribe would be thrilled to have you as our honored guests.